to bring your Bibles, even though I put a lot of these scriptures on PowerPoint. There's going to be a few that I don't. I encourage you to bring your Bible, or if you use your phone, some people are using their phones now to go to that Bible app, which is good too. But turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28 and Luke chapter 2. And yes, in Luke chapter 2, I'm going to read a little bit out of the Christmas story. Since we're in the month of December and we're coming up on Christmas, I can't believe it, it's already here, Christmas 2021. And this is a series. If you haven't been here, this has been a series, even though each one of these are standalone messages. We've entitled the series called The Established Heart, and the tagline of it is developing the trust in God that stands the test of time. The established heart means that your heart needs to be established on the Word of God. If left alone, the heart, the book of Jeremiah says, is deceitful and wicked. And you need to, your heart will betray you every time. And so, but if you've got the Word of God in your heart, you're going to be led by the Holy Spirit. And everybody said, amen. So that's what we've been trying to do, is get the Word of God established in our heart. And there's seven major revelations that we've been looking at through this series that that we've been studying. Has everybody been learning a lot through this series? I hope. Amen. Okay. Yeah, say amen, please. All right. These are the seven major revelations every believer should know. And this is the one we're going to look at today, is the reality of redemption. We're going to look at the reality of the new birth. That's going to be done on the 19th, the week of Christmas. And then the reality of being made the righteousness of God. We're going to look at that next Sunday. And then the reality of being God indwelt is going to be the last Sunday of this year. We're going to talk about that one. We've already talked about the reality of the authority in the name of Jesus, the reality of the integrity of God's word. And then number seven is the reality of the God kind of faith residing in you. And where the established heart came from is actually in Psalms 112. And I've been encouraging you to read this every day and get this psalm down deep inside of you. And it says, "Praise the Lord. Blessed is the man who fears the Lord, who delights greatly in his commandments. His descendants will be mighty on the earth. The generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches will be in his house, and his righteousness endures forever. Unto the upright there arises light in the darkness. He is gracious and full of compassion and righteous. A good man deals graciously and lends. He will guide his affairs with discretion. Surely he will never be shaken. The righteous will be an everlasting remembrance. He will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established." There's how we got the name of this series. His heart is established, and it's established in the Word of God. "He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. He has dispersed abroad. He has given to the poor. His righteousness endures forever. His horn will be exalted with honor. The wicked will see it and be grieved. He will gnash his teeth and melt away. The desire of the wicked shall perish." And then our main scriptures that we've been looking at is verses 7 through 8 in Psalms 112, where it says, "He will not be afraid of evil tidings." Did you know how many people are living in fear right now, even Christians? And here's what I'm going to tell us, everybody. And I know that we've all been through you know, 2020 was a horrible year. We're still having the effects of COVID even now. You know, our economy, just everything, how it's all been affected. But guys, here's the deal. I want to encourage you as believers, we are not to live in fear. Amen. God didn't give us a spirit of fear, but of love and power and a sound mind. So he will not be afraid of evil tidings. The reason why people are so afraid today, even Christians, why they're so afraid today, is because they don't have the Word of God established in their heart. You have got to have the Word of God established in your heart. I wish I could tell you that things are going to get better. I don't know. But you better have the Word of God established in your heart. Amen? So that you can be an overcomer in these last days. It says, "His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies." Now we're going to turn to Luke chapter 2, if you have your Bibles. Luke chapter 2, and then also Deuteronomy chapter 28. If you know me, I'm going to give you a lot more scriptures in between there. But in Luke chapter 2, you know, Luke 1 and 2 tells the Christmas story, or the birth of Jesus. And in verses 36 through 38, it talks about this, and this is, we're talking about redemption today. And so I wanted to pull this out of the Christmas story. And it says, Anna, the prophetess Anna, bears witness to the Redeemer. And it says this in verse 36. Now there was one, Anna, a prophetess, the daughter of Phanuel of the tribe of Asher. She was of great age and had lived with a husband 7 years from her virginity. And this woman was a widow of about 84 years who did not depart from the temple, but served God with fastings and prayers night and day. And coming in that instant, she gave thanks to the Lord. This is when she saw Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus. And she spoke of him to all those who looked for redemption in Jerusalem. Now, we're gonna look at this word redemption. And a lot of people, a lot of believers use redemption and salvation interchangeably. And that's okay. You can do that. But redemption means a little bit more. And we're going to look at that. Okay, and so here's what redemption means. Redemption means to buy out or purchase again. To buy out or purchase again. And related to the Christian concept of redemption is the word ransom. Our praise team did an awesome job by picking out the songs today. I just usually tell them what I'm going to be ministering on, and then Luke and the team are really good about picking out the songs. And there was a song that we sang this morning, a worship song that talked about the ransom. And this is Matthew 20, verse 28. It says, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. Jesus was our ransom. Amen. He was the one that redeemed us. He bought us back. He purchased us again with his blood. And I encourage you to, because I'm going to just give you some scriptures about redemption today, but I encourage you to go home and do a word search in the Bible on the word redemption. It's powerful. Jesus redeemed us back with his blood to buy back us. And another example of this in the Word of God in the Old Testament is when God redeemed the children of Israel from Egypt. Okay, he redeemed them from Egypt, but here's where we're going to take redemption a little bit further. He redeemed them to something else. He redeemed them from Egypt, and he redeemed them to the promised land. Amen? So we're going to look at this. God redeemed us from sin. He redeemed us, the Bible says, from the curse of the law, but he redeemed us to blessings and promises. He redeemed us to that, okay? We're going to look at that. A lot of people just stop at what he redeemed us from. I want to go to something too, amen? Right? And that's this is the walk by faith. I've got a really cheesy analogy, okay? A really cheesy illustration this morning, because I was praying. I was like, God, because I'd read a lot of different, you know, illustrations about redemption where people, and there's other examples in the Word of God, Ruth and Boaz, Hosea and Gomer. You know, if your name's Gomer, you need to be redeemed. Amen. It's not Gomer Pyle. How many remember Gomer Pyle? Shazam. All right, that tells my age a little bit. But, and those are all good Bible examples of, in Bible stories, and I encourage you to go read the book of Ruth, read the book of Hosea about God's plan of redemption. He's been in this plan ever since the book of Genesis, ever since man fell. He's been redeeming us. Sorry, Janice. We're going to get back into the anointing right here real quick, but I've got to get back from Gomer Pyle. But anyway, so I was thinking about, well, I got an illustration I need to use today. And last night we had the Callaway Christmas, okay? And it's always a hoot when all the Callaways get together. And we was at Clark and Jennifer's house last night, and we had a great time and had a great meal. And it was just a good time for family being together. And then we always do, you know, a Dirty Santa, right? Okay? And where we exchange gifts. Well, so the guys get a guy gift, you know how it is, and the girls get a girl's gift. And so here's my shopping. Jada got hers like 3 weeks ago, and she told me the other day, she said, have you got your gift for the Callaway Christmas? I said, yeah, I have. I hadn't. I lied. Don't tell her that. She's back in nursery today. And so thank God we live in a small town, so I called up Leedy Lumber, 488-3506. I got it in my phone, you know. Got Leedy Lumber. I called them up, and it was Caitlin that answered, and I was like, good. I was like, Caitlin, I said, I need you to do me a favor. I need to buy a guy gift between $20 and $25, and then I need you to wrap it as well. She goes, that's no problem, Mark, I'll do that. Well, this was on Friday. And then, so I'm working in Elk City that day, so then I have to call Keaton, my little nephew, and tell him, I said, hey, buddy, I need you to go buy Leedy Lumber and pick up my gift before 5 o'clock before they close. And he said, yeah, I can do that. So he went and got my gift. Picked it up the other day. I have no idea what's in this gift, right? Because she said, Mark, what do you want? I said, I don't care, just something between $20 and $25. And so Keaton brings me out the gift, and Jada's with me at this time because we just pulled up the house and at Matt, my brother's house. Keaton comes out, gives me the gift, and he doesn't know what it is. And Jada asked me, she goes, Mark, what is it? And I said, I have no idea. But and so we got it. She was just getting on to me. He's like, oh, Mark, golly, you're such a guy. And so we get to the house, and I knew what the – of course, I knew what it looked like, the gift. And lo and behold, during our deal, the Dirty Santa – Lindsay picks out my gift, and I'm watching her because I know it's a guy gift, and I'm watching her, and Lindsay's so sweet and so sweet. She's just so quiet and shy acting, so sweet, and she opens up that gift, and I can tell she's like, OMG, you know, what? And she pulls it out. Well, it's pliers. And I looked at, and I'm sitting, Jada's sitting by me, and I said, that's what I got was pliers. And she was like, oh my gosh, Mark, you know. I was like, that must be a heavy-duty set of pliers if they're $20, $25, you know. And they are, you know, got a nice leather case. And eat your heart out, Dusty, I got me a nice leather case. And my pliers. And so I was sitting there, and, of course, I knew what I was the message was going to be today. And I could just tell by the look on Lindsay's face, she was like, oh, no, I am stuck with these pliers. Because we play the deal where you can steal, you know, and stuff, too. It's the Dirty Santa. And so, anyway, so I told Jada, I leaned over and I said, hey, I'm going to go. I can tell she doesn't like that gift, and I don't blame her. And so I'm going to steal that gift. And she goes, you do know when you steal it, it's yours because nobody else is going to want it either. I said, that's fine. I need some pliers anyway for my pickup. So I went and I redeemed this back from Lindsay, and she was thankful. Okay, she was so thankful. And what'd you end up with? That a brewmate, yeah. So she got a really nice gift, and I got a set of red pliers. I brought them because they're Christmas red today. But I was like, that's my story of redemption today. And here's the deal: we were all born into sin, which we didn't sign up for it because that was the fall. And Jesus came and bought us back. Amen. But He redeemed us. He came and He redeemed us. But he not only redeemed us from sin and the curse of the law. The curse of the law is that nobody in this room is going to be good enough to ever live up to the law. That's the curse of the law. So Jesus had to fulfill the law and redeem us back. And He did that. But I want you to know this. That's awesome and that's great that He did that. But He also redeemed us to something else. All right? In fact, it means that He put us back before, He redeemed us back to what it was like before we ever fell. Okay, and but to live in that environment, heaven on earth, we have to appropriate that by faith. And everybody said, amen. That's why we live by faith and not by sight. So I'm going to give you some more scriptures on redemption this morning. And one of them that we're going to look at here, and I'm going to give you, if you're taking notes on the back of your bulletin, you can write down 1, 2, 3, because I'm going to give you three facts about redemption today. And here's Hebrews chapter 9, verses 11 through 14. It says, but Christ, as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is, not of this creation, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with His own blood, He entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. For if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, this was all in what was going on in the Old Testament, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, cleanse your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? That is so powerful. And so that's Hebrews 9, verses 11 through 14. And from this, from that passage of Scripture, I want to give you three facts about redemption. And here's number one. Number one, our redemption has already been obtained for us, meaning it's past tense. It's already been done. The cross, the burial, and the resurrection. Our redemption has already been attained for us. We have to appropriate that by faith, though. Hebrews 9, verse 12 says, not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. So everybody say, it's already happened. It's already happened. You already got it. If you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you can say, I am redeemed. Because it's past tense. You've already been redeemed. Okay, here's the second fact. Number two is our redemption is an eternal redemption. Hebrews 9, verse 12 again. Not with the blood of goats and calves, but with his own blood, he entered the most holy place once for all, having obtained eternal redemption. He didn't say temporary redemption. He said eternal redemption. So if it is an eternal redemption, I want you to understand this, guys, and I want you to get this really down deep in your heart, because a lot of Christians don't believe this, okay? If it is an eternal redemption, then Satan is eternally defeated. I'll say that again. If it's an eternal redemption, then Satan is eternally defeated. Sin and Satan should not be lord over you in any way whatsoever. And everybody said, all right. There was one time, I'm just going to share this story real quick right here. There was one time I shared this, something similar to this, on social media, right? And about our redemption and about the power of the cross and what happened at the cross and that we're overcomers and we're conquerors through Christ Jesus. Not in and of ourselves, but through what Jesus did through our redemption. So I posted this. Well, somebody slid into my DMs, all right, and they messaged me. And so, you know, I'm going to give you some Facebook social media etiquette. I don't go around trying to stir up stuff, okay? I'm not that kind of guy. I'm not going to get political and all these kind of stuff. So I have my own beliefs and opinions and all this. But when you start attacking my faith, then I've got to respond. And I'm not going to do it if somebody just makes a post and I jump on their post and start attacking them. But if you slide into my DMs, then you give me the authority to talk to you if you're wanting to talk. And so this person slid into my DMs and said, man, I don't know what kind of life you're living, but I'm living in a life where I'm getting beat up from pillar to post from the devil. And he's alive and well, and he is kicking my butt. I'm paraphrasing all this, but that's basically what this guy was telling me. And I know this guy. Don't look around. He don't go to church here, okay? But he's had a life full of addiction. And he's hiding, and I'm going to tell you what he's hiding behind. He's hiding behind that. He gives more glory to Satan than to God. And so he opened up the door for me to tell him, I asked him, I said, are you a believer? Yes, I am. Then I said, here's the deal. There is power in the cross. There is power when Jesus died for our sins. There is power in the resurrection. And he has redeemed you from sin and living a life of addiction. And he wants you to renew your mind to that and not sit around and think. And so his deal was, I'm going to blame my whole life on the devil. And I did this in a loving way. I'm not, this is not coming across kind of loving this morning. It's come across pretty firm, but I did it in a very loving way. I told him, I said, the devil's been defeated. What's hindering you is your choices. He didn't like that because he was like, dude, I got an adversary. And I said, I understand, but you're allowing that to happen because you're not renewing your mind to what redemption really is. And when you renew your mind to what redemption really is, you'll get set free because the truth is what sets you free. Amen. 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 And I believe that he's going to, I believe that he heard me out. He heard me out. I believe that. He did. And he was a little combative at first, but he heard me out and he understood that, hey, I believe I sowed a seed that, hey, I need to start renewing my mind according to the Word of God. I'm telling you this, guys, there's people that have sat in church for years and you get around in some Christian circles, and I'm not saying that I've got it all figured out. I'm still learning and growing, but I know this, I've been redeemed, and I'm renewing my mind to that. But when you get around some Christian circles, they give more glory to the devil than they do to God. And you're like, no wonder you're still living in bondage, because that's all you talk about is what the devil's doing to you. And he's been defeated 2,000 years ago. And we need to start believing that and acting like it. Amen. And everybody said, amen. All right. Here's the third fact about redemption. And this is what I was teaching this guy. This slides right into this DM, this direct point, is our redemption is operative right now. Yes, there's a redemption. I understand we're going to go to heaven, you know, and our bodies, we're going to get new bodies one day and all that. You know, there's still more to this redemption story going on. But right now, even in this fleshly body that I'm in, the spirit, this is just my tabernacle, my tent is what the Word of God says. But this redemption that Jesus did for us 2,000 years ago at the cross, it operates right now. If I operate it by faith, if I renew my mind according to it, it operates right now. Now, it don't operate if I'm constantly going around giving glory to the devil. Everybody understand that? Okay. And so our redemption is operative right now. Your redemption is operative right now, and this is what I want all of us to become established in. If you're going to live in these last days, which we are in, you're going to have to be established in knowing who you are in Christ and knowing that you have been redeemed. In Ephesians 1, verses 3 through 9, this is the Apostle Paul talking to the church at Ephesus, and he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ." He's also talking to us today, too, as well. "Who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he made us accepted in the beloved. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of his grace, which he made to abound toward us in all wisdom and prudence, having made known to us the mystery of his will according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in himself." That's a mouthful, and you can preach all day long on that, but I'd encourage you to go back and read the book of Ephesians, and it just settles the fact that we have been redeemed by the Lord. And I'm just going to pull out, and I put this slide up here, and I could teach on this all day as well. But there's 8 benefits of redemption. And I'll send these notes to you. I know I'm going kind of fast this morning. I'll send these notes to you if you want them, because I put the scriptures with them, and we're not going to turn to every one of those today. We're going to turn to some of them. But the benefits of redemption are this. Number one, obviously, is eternal life. Number two is the forgiveness of sins. Number three is righteousness, and we're going to talk about that next week. It's not our righteousness, but Jesus' righteousness that operates within us as believers. The number four, freedom from the law's curse. The law's curse was that we never could live up to it, so Jesus had to come and do that for us. Number five was adoption into God's family. We've all been adopted. We were, before redemption, get this, we were slaves to sin. After redemption, we were sons and daughters of the Most High God. We're restored back to what we were in the Garden of Eden before we fell. It says that Adam was a son of God. All right. Adoption into God's family. Number six is deliverance from sin's bondage. That's Titus 2:14 and 1 Peter 1, verses 14 through 18. And then number seven, the benefits of redemption is we have peace with God. Peace with God. A lot of people are walking around confused today, even Christians, because they are not operating in that peace that passes all understanding. God wants you to give you that peace that passes all understanding. That's part of your redemption package, your redemption benefits. Peace with God, Colossians 1, verses 18 through 20. And then number 8 is the one that we're going to look at the end of this month, the indwelling of the Holy Spirit, where we're going to talk about the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And this is 1 Corinthians 6, 19 through 20. And yes, it takes the Holy Spirit to receive salvation, but if you'll read the book of Acts, there's also not only water baptism, but there's also a baptism in the Holy Spirit and fire that only Jesus does. Amen. And every believer, God wants every believer to have that as well. So those are the benefits of redemption. I'm going to go back to, so when I said earlier that we were redeemed from sin, from the curse of the law. Now, what are we redeemed to? So I'm going to show you what we're redeemed to, all right? Galatians 3, verses 13 through 14. If you're here last Sunday, we talked a little bit about this, about the faith of Abraham and what that blessing, the Abraham blessing is. And this is in Galatians 3, verses 13 through 14. It says, "Christ," here's that word again, "has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree, that the blessing, and here's what he was redeemed us from sin and the curse of law. Now, verse 14 shows us what he's redeemed us to, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles, that's us, in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Okay? So he wants the blessings of Abraham to come upon us, and he also wants us to receive the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Everybody see that? All right, so redeemed from the curse of the law and sin, and redeemed to the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Holy Spirit through faith. Now you may ask, and we talked about this last Sunday, and I'm going to repeat it again, but what are the blessings of Abraham? And if you study Scripture, the Abraham covenant, here are the threefold blessing of Abraham. Number one was a spiritual blessing, meaning you're going to have a close walk with God. You're going to walk by faith and not by sight. Your faith is what pleases God. Number two, you're going to have a physical blessing, which means you're going to walk in divine health and healing in Jesus' name. And then number three is you're going to have a material blessing, which means financial prosperity. All three of those, when you're walking in all three of those as a redeemed Christian, you're going to be a walking advertisement to those outside these four walls that don't know Jesus. When you're walking in that spiritual blessing, physical blessing, material blessing, I might add to that, whenever you start walking in that, then you're going to have relational blessings. Relationships are going to be healed and restored in the way that God wants them to operate. In Galatians 3, verse 29, it says, "And if you are Christ, then you're Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise." So if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, then you're Abraham's seed. I'm Abraham's seed. Everybody say, I'm Abraham's seed, and I'm heir according to the promise. Okay, and that's the promise of the Holy Spirit and all the promises that are in the Word of God. Now, Galatians 4:5 says, "To redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons and daughters." Okay, so before redemption, we were all slaves to sin. After redemption, we were adopted by God to become his son and daughter. You're now a son and daughter. You're not a sinner, you're a saint. You're not a sinner, you're a son. You're not a sinner, you're a daughter. Amen? Okay, so you got to start thinking of yourself like that. A lot of Christians think of themselves as sinners. Well, if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you're not a sinner, you're a son now. You're a daughter. You're a saint. That's what the Word says. You may not feel like it, you may not act like it, but you are if you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior. And he wants you to start renewing your mind to that. And when we renew our mind to that, guys, we are going to be a threat to the kingdom of darkness. Okay? When we can start walking in that kind of faith. We were redeemed from sin and the curse of the law, and we were redeemed to the blessing of Abraham and the promise of the Holy Spirit. Now, if you're like me, and as you're going through and studying the Word of God, you're going to say, well, what are the blessings of Abraham? Well, I gave you, kind of summed them up there a little bit, the threefold, spiritual, physical, and material. But I want you to turn, if you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to Deuteronomy chapter 28. And I'm going to read verses 1 through 14. I'm not going to read the rest of the chapter. I encourage you to read the rest of it, because the rest of it tells you what somebody that living under the curse is going to experience. But if you're, and I don't want any of us to live under the curse, amen? We're going to walk by faith and not by sight. We're going to live under the blessings of Abraham. And this is Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14. And I'm going to read this over all of us. Yes, this is Old Testament, but it still applies to us today. These are the blessings of God. And these are the blessings of Abraham, the Abrahamic covenant. And because Jesus redeemed us, I want you to understand this, guys. Because of Jesus redeeming us, we have a legal right to be blessed by God. Okay. Now, and I want you to, this is when we read verses 1 through 14. It says, Now it shall come to pass, if you diligently obey the voice of the Lord your God, to observe carefully all his commandments, which I command you today, that the Lord your God will set you high above all nations of the earth. And all these blessings shall come upon you and overtake you. How many of you ready to be overtaken? Amen? Because you obey the voice of the Lord your God. Blessed shall you be in the city, and blessed shall you be in the country. We're in the country. Blessed shall we be. Blessed shall, if you don't think we're country, I'm sorry. I was talking to a lady the other day, And I had to do a memorial service yesterday for a gentleman that was on our hospice service, and this lady was there, and she came up to me. She was a friend, or she was a family member, and she was thanking me for the service and for ministering to her sister. And we were talking about where we live, and she was from Naples, Florida, is where she was from. And she goes, when I come out here, I feel like I am in the country. I said, you're in God's country out here. All right, verse 4 says, blessed shall be the fruit of your body, the produce of your ground, and the increase of your herds, the increase of your cattle, and the offspring of your flocks. Okay, for all you farmers and ranchers in here. Verse 5 says, blessed shall be your basket and your kneading bowl. Blessed shall you be when you come in, and blessed shall you be when you go out. The Lord will cause your enemies, I love this, the Lord will cause your enemies who rise against you to be defeated before your face. They shall come out against you one way and flee from you seven ways. The Lord will command the blessing on you in your storehouses and in all to which you set your hand, and he will bless you in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. The Lord will establish you as a holy people to himself, just as he has sworn to you, if you keep the commandments of the Lord your God and walk in his ways. Then all peoples of the earth shall see that you are called by the name of the Lord, and they shall be afraid of you. And the Lord will grant you plenty of goods in the fruit of your body, in the increase of your livestock, and in the produce of your ground, in the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers to give you. The Lord will open to you his good treasure, the heavens, to give rain to your land in its season, and we need rain right now, and to bless all the work of your hand. You shall lend to many nations, but you shall not borrow, and the Lord will make you the head and not the tail. You shall be above only and not beneath, if you heed the commandments of the Lord your God, which I command you today, and are careful to observe them. So you shall not turn aside from any of the words which I command you this day, to the right or to the left, to go after other gods to serve them. That's the blessings of Abraham that God wants to pour out upon you, okay? And he wants you to get that down inside of you. And some of you, you know, the first time I read that, I was like, God, I don't feel like the head today. I feel like the tail. How many of you had those days? And God said, by faith, you are the head. You're a lender, not a borrower. You're above and not beneath. You're the head and not the tail, all right? And sometimes you just need to get up and speak that over yourself and speak that over your situations. And everybody said, amen. All right, it says in Ephesians 1:22, wrapping this up, all right. Hey, Dusty, can you do me a favor? Can you go ahead and bring, because I've got something we're going to do here in just a second. Can you go ahead and have them bring the kids back out here with their families? Yeah. And, of course, not the nursery, but just the little kids in the children's church. Well, I've got something planned here in just a second that we're going to do to go out. But Ephesians 1, verse 22 says, and he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over all things to the church. All right? I want you to get this picture, guys, this mental picture. Jesus is seated at the throne. All right? And everything is underneath his feet. And positionally, God, positionally, guys, everything is underneath our feet as well. And we've got to renew our mind to that. And the reason why a lot of people live with the enemy over them is because they're still over here at the cross trying to figure out what happened at the cross. Okay? And that's where Jesus, the Bible says that he defeated Satan openly and triumphed over him. He resurrected, and they're like, oh my gosh, what's going on? And then he's ascended, and then he went to the throne, and like they're saying, we're done. Okay? You know, it's finished. Jesus said it's finished. But he's still going around because he's a very good liar and he's lying to people because they haven't renewed their mind according to the Word of God. And he's still making himself feel like, I've got you underneath my feet. In reality, you've got him underneath your foot. All right? And you need to start acting like it and believing that and saying it. Amen? All right? When the enemy reminds you of your past, I love that saying, remind him of his future. He's already defeated, guys. And everybody said, amen. All right, now here's our scripture of the day is Psalms 107, verse 2. This is what I read when we kicked off the service this morning. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he has redeemed from the hand of the enemy. So I want everybody to say so in here. Say so, there you go. Say it. And what you say, say what, Pastor Mark? Say these blessings in Deuteronomy chapter 28 over you. you got to get up every morning and read Deuteronomy chapter 28, verses 1 through 14 over you and your family, do it. Because that's your inheritance as a believer, as a son and daughter of the Most High God. And everybody said, amen. All right, has everybody got a better understanding of redemption today? What you've been redeemed from sin and the curse of the law and redeemed to blessings, these blessings of Abraham that we just read, and also the promise of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that's going to help you to live an overcoming Christian life. And everybody said, amen. All right, we got the kids coming back in here this morning. And I want everyone to bow your heads in here this morning before we do this last part. And I'll introduce this here in just a second, Carrie, before we play that video. The first thing that I want to do before we go any further, because we do this every Sunday, and it's where we do the prayer of salvation, because I don't know everybody's spiritual condition that comes here on a Sunday morning, also those that are watching online or those that are going to listen to this on the radio. But in Romans chapter 10, it says, confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, and it says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And so we're all whosoever's in here today. You don't have to clean up your act before you come to God. That's the Holy Spirit's job. He'll do that. As you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus, if you believe this in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, and when you call upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. And then you start this partnership with the Holy Spirit, and he's going to start cleaning you up, okay? And it may take a lifetime, but he'll work with you, all right? He's our comforter. He's our helper is what the Word says. But I want to lead you in this prayer. And this is just the prayer of confessing with your mouth and believing in your heart. All right? So even if you are a believer and you know Jesus, I want you to repeat this prayer with me. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I believe you are the Son of God. And you died on the cross for me. And rose again on the third day. Please forgive me of my sins. And create a clean heart in me. Renew my spirit. So I can hear your voice. I accept you as my Savior. You are my Lord. Thank you for saving me. And everybody said, okay. We're going to play a video here. And it's 12 minutes long. Okay. But it's a video of, every Sunday when I get up here and I speak a blessing over you guys, and it's out of Numbers chapter 6. Verses 24 through 26 that I speak over you guys, and it's an extended version that I found one time that I really like it, and I love speaking blessings over God's people, and I do that every Sunday. But this Sunday I felt like, because we've talked about the blessing today and the Abraham blessing that's ours as the redeemed, there's a song, and I know most of you in here have heard it, The Blessing by Carrie Job. Most of you in here have heard it. Jade and I jam out to this song a lot. And nobody can sing it like Carrie. And she was one of the ones that helped write this song. And she's going to share this here in just a second. But I just want to give you, this is at Elevation Church. And a lot of you have heard, if you're into contemporary praise and worship, you've heard of Elevation Worship. And they have a tremendous worship ministry there where they are writing songs. They've got kids, teenagers in their 20s and 30s that are writing songs. They wrote the Rattle, Rattle. That's an awesome song too. I love that one. And they just get together and they have these jam sessions, and then they write these songs. And so Carrie talks about how they got together and they were, having one of these jam sessions. And she talks about how the Spirit of God just came in and they began to piece together the blessing, which comes, it's scriptural, and she's going to share that. But it comes from Numbers chapter 6, verses 24 through 26. So I'm going to let Carrie Job speak the blessing over you guys today in song, all right? And it's the extended version of it, and it's 12 minutes long, and we've got the words on the screen, so if you don't know them, but you can sing along with them and worship with them. And I want the kids to be out here with them, and I encourage you to put this on your playlist. This is a powerful song. All right, go ahead, Carrie. And then I'm going to come up and close this in prayer.
We got together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Steve. Thank you. We got together with Pastor Chris and Pastor Stephen on Thursday to just go in after the presence of God and try to pin lyric and melody. And after a couple of hours, it just felt like the presence of God just stopped everything. And we wrote a song called The Blessing. And it's straight from Scripture. And it's the heart of the Father over us as His kids. And we're going to sing it this morning, if that's okay. And this is a blessing over you and your family and your children. So just receive this morning. Just put your hands out in front of you. Turn your heart to a place of just receiving the blessing of heaven from God Himself over you this morning.
May His favor be upon you and a thousand. before, behind, beside, all around you, within you. He is in you, He is in you. In the morning, in the evening, in your coming, in your going.
Rejoice.
He is for.
He is for.
May the favor. May the favor.
May the favor be upon you and a thousand generations and your family and your children and their children and their children.
Tell you what, guys, Jade and I will kick that on. We'll say, Alexa, play The Blessing by Carrie Job, and we just crank it. And I encourage you to take that song home with you and that worship song. But that was when it was released that Sunday at that church, and it's been a blessing to so many people all over. And is everybody ready to go out blessed today? Amen. I want everybody to stand up in here this morning. And I'm actually going to speak this blessing over you. I can't sing it like Carrie, but I'm just going to speak it over you as we go out today. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up His countenance upon you and give you His peace. And everybody said, Amen. I want you to turn to somebody and say, I am redeemed. Amen. And you guys have a blessed week.